Heavenly Father, we thank thee that in the middle of this month that is filled with cold and dampness and darkness, we have sun coming through the windows. We thank thee that we have this warm place to gather. More importantly, Father, we thank thee for the reason that we gather, the reason that thy Son and our Savior can shine brightly in a lost and dying world through the hearts of thy children. Lord, speak to us in this day. Give us, Lord, whatever we have need of, insight, encouragement, admonition. Lord, thou knowest our hearts. Speak to us out of thy word, beginning with thy servant. Lord, be with those that can't be with us. We're mindful of Sister Hilda. We're mindful of Helene and Aunt Lainey, the Muellers. Others, Lord, that escape me at this time, Lord, bless them, visit them, touch their hearts. Lord, be with all those that will join us virtually, either today or throughout the remaining weeks and months. We pray that their joining with us might be a blessing to them and an honor and a glory to thee. So now, Lord, do far more than we can ask and supply all that is lacking, for truly, Lord, there is much lacking in thy servant this morning. For we ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, I've heard a statement a week and a half ago that has really, it's weighed heavy on my mind and my heart. It's caused me to ponder many things, and I won't tell you what the statement is right now. That'll come after the reading. I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 3. This morning, and I've been pondering this statement, and this morning I got up a little bit, not very early, but before anyone else in the house, and I sat in the living room as the sun was starting to come up, and this scripture came to mind. So with the Lord's help, I'd like to read the first 17 verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For the which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And in that which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wherefore, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'd like to conclude with verse 17. Dear ones, the statement that I heard, and I shared it last Sunday morning during Bible class, that really was striking to me was this. With the way you're behaving, why would anyone want to know your God? With the way you're behaving, why would anyone want to know your God? That statement was made at the conference I was at. It was a smaller breakout group, 300 in the small break. I know it doesn't sound like a small breakout group, but when one day there's almost 4,000 in the room, 300 is a small group. And the question of Christianity came up. And being a Christian witness and showing our light as Christians. And the man that was doing the Q&A at that point said, well, the way so many Christians are behaving today, why would anyone want to know about their God or your God? That's sad. But if we just look at what's happening in the world today, it's true. And I had to ponder on that. Like when people see me, when people see me interact, when people hear me comment on current affairs, who do they see? Who do they hear? When they see me interact under stress, who are they seeing? And the way my behavior is, would anyone ever want to know of the reason of the hope that lies within me, as Peter was saying? Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, that you might be ready always to answer any man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that lies within you. There's a lot of times I don't think people see hope in me. There's a lot of times that I don't think people see Jesus in me. They see a whole lot of Dave Freund and a whole lot of whining and complaining and not enough rejoicing. So as I read through this chapter, these 17 verses again with you, please, I'm not speaking of you. These are verses that the Lord gave me this morning. The beginning of the first verse in chapter 3 says, if. That's a qualifying statement. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So if I'm going to be risen with Christ, if I'm going to claim Jesus as my Savior, if I'm going to claim a new life in Christ, I need to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. What does that mean? It means that my hopes and my dreams need to be of things above. That the things that I value the most in life are things of above. Now that doesn't mean I don't value my children, my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, my in-law children. But though they are also things of above. Because Christ is in them. And for the grandchildren, as they get older, I love to see the tenderness, and I pray that that tenderness will remain in them as they begin to seek those things which are above. But what am I seeking? What am I seeking after? What am I looking for? Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't enjoy the things of the earth. God has given us things to bring joy into our lives. But they must stay in the right perspective. The greatest earthly joy that I have is my wife. Second to my wife is my family. I am to enjoy them to the fullest that God has created the relationship. There are things around us, the beautiful nature that we live in. We are to enjoy. God has given us. So I'm not saying don't enjoy what God has blessed us with, but keep things always in perspective. I had an issue with perspective yesterday. When I got back from Florida, I was like, man, I just wish that I could go skiing one more time. Just one more time this season. And wouldn't you know, Song Mountain was open yesterday. Not much. Two hills. The Bunny Hill and Valley High. And I got out there just as the lifts were starting. And I wasn't going to be there long, maybe an hour. Just let me have 5-6 runs and I'm good. And I was going up the lift for the last time of the day, and I even said to there's this one lift attendant, he's the nicest man in all the world. And we chatted a little bit, and you know, he said, if you come back, I'll look for you. And what I actually thought was, maybe if they're open this afternoon, I could just go get one more run. Then I could say I skied the first time of the year and the last time. He says, if you're here, I'll look for you. Well, they're not open today. But I wouldn't go anyways because I had to have my perspective set right. So my last run of the day, I am going to make this a memorable run. It might be the last run of the year. So I come down and there's bare spots and the trail narrows, and there was this lady skiing, and an elderly lady. Not that I'm not elderly, but she seemed a bit more elderly than me. And she was skiing a bit slow, and I went around her. And it was on one of the steeper parts on Valley High, so you know, I'm picking up quite a bit of speed, but I don't ski out of control, and I do not know what happened. But I heard one click and another click, and I looked down, and my skis aren't on me. And I went head first down that hill, landing in my chest and my shoulder, and it was, as skiers would say, this was a total yard sale. It was the worst fall. I don't remember a fall like that. You know, and I stood up and I'm shaking, and the lady skis up to my skis as I'm walking up the hill to my skis to get them because they were way up the hill. She goes, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine, thank you." I think I was enjoying it a little too much. God had to say, "Be careful. Keep it in perspective." And I didn't realize that perspective moment till just now. It was such a good fall that one of the guys in the lodge said, "Oh, you're the guy in the red coat?" I said, "Yeah." For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, do we understand the power of that statement? When Christ, who is our life, is Christ my life? That's the question. If I'm risen with him, he needs to be my life. Shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Am I looking for that? I mean, if think about it, dear ones, if Christ is our life, is there a more grander, more wonderful, more amazing moment than when we see him in glory? Am I longing for that? Am I seeking for that? Am I praying for that? I love how the scripture ends with John saying, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." I don't pray that enough. I used to for a while. I don't know why I stopped. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I'm not going to talk about the first parts in that verse, but I am going to talk about which is idolatry. Because if you look that up in the Amplified, it talks about the deifying of self. Am I creating an idol in myself? If I enjoy things for the wrong reasons, I'm idolizing myself, my pleasures, what I want, Man, it's so easy to make an idol of self. I don't like how things are going. I want it different. I want it my way. I want things to be the way I think they need to be. That's idolizing self. I'm so guilty of that. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Do people see me angry? Are they hearing me spout off about things that I don't like that I see? Do they hear me complaining vociferously about what's going on in the world? Yes, we're supposed to rebuke the works of darkness. But I think there's times when I might think that rebuking the works of darkness is a spiritual gift, and it's not. Like, I need to exercise this all the time. I'm going to rebuke this work of darkness and that work of darkness. You know what? I'm going to speak the truth. But the word says to speak the truth in love. Is the way I'm behaving such a way where someone that was really troubled, where someone that was truly lost, where someone who was living out all of these things that I think are horrible would come to me and say, can you please help me? How are you joyful in this? How are you calm in this? Why aren't you worried about what's happening? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And then, you know I much prefer the positive side. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's an action that we have to do. It's not something that's going to come naturally. We have to put on Christ. And I want to read that in the Amplified, verse 10. And have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge after the image and the likeness of him who created it. I love that verse because that verse says, it's okay if I'm not perfect yet. When our founding fathers set out the Constitution, they used the phrase to form a more perfect union, meaning it was going to be something that took time, that took action. And yes, they had the Constitution, and right away we had 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, I think it's 10. I'm looking at Tim because he would know. And then we got to the mid-1800s when we got to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery. And you know what? We've only got 27. That's pretty good. They did really well for 250 years. But the model, I want to use it as a model because it says, you're not perfect yet, but each day I have the potential of being renewed to a closer likeness of my Savior. Every day, I have the option of being a more perfect reflection of him. Every day I'm going to fail, and every night I can ask forgiveness and say, Lord, if you give me another day, I'm in it. I'm going to be intentional. I'll be about being more like you. Where there is neither... Now, listen, let me read 10 again because I got to fit right into 11. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, uncircumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Goes right on to that Bible class lesson that Brother Sam so beautifully led us through. It's not circumcision and uncircumcision. It's not German and Serbian and Romanian and Croatian. We are all in Christ. We are purchased by Christ. We are his children, his brethren, and God's children. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, that's right out of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why is it that I miss this? Why is it that even though when I was a child in Sunday school, you know, probably in the first Sunday school room in the old church next to the furnace room with the round wood table that we used to shoot crayons across. Imagine 7 boys the same age around that table. That must have been something for those poor teachers. I learned it, but how is it I forget it, that I'm forgiven by the same measure that I forgive? Am I really forgiving? Am I filled with grace toward others? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. The bond of completeness is love. I want to read verse 12 in the Amplified as well. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that we are handpicked by God? Now, all men God chooses to pick, but not all agree to be picked, which is tragic. Who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways and patient, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Wow, do I need to work on that one. How do I do it? How do I work on it? By surrendering my will to the Spirit every day continually. By striving to, so if I'm going to be renewed daily after the image of Christ, I need to focus on who Christ is. I need to focus on what Christ is doing. I need to focus, do I know him? Do I know his nature? Am I asking each day, Lord, help me walk in your ways. Help me keep this perspective that so often gets so out of whack. In verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. It doesn't say the peace of God will. God doesn't force his peace on anybody. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, why do I wait and hang on every news clip to find out what's going to happen in this court case, this, that, something else? And if the answer isn't the answer I want or I think is appropriate, I get super stressed. Where is justice in America? That's a good question. Is it troubling for me? Yeah, it is. I love this country. I love the fact that I was blessed to be born here and raised here. But what did Jesus say to Pilate? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not from hence. Okay, so I'm not saying don't be involved. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form, don't vote. I'm not saying don't be informed. But for me, I got to remember to let the peace of God rule in my heart. I don't know what's happening. Now, I heard this quote some years ago, and it was basically God talking to us saying, I have a plan, but if I told you, you'd never believe it. That's the truth. God has a plan. He knows the end. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We know the end too. We know the end. We know who wins the game. We just don't know all of the plays that are going to take place in the innings between now and the end of the game. That's when we have to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And that let the peace of God rule means to act as umpire, settling with all finality. That's what that letting the peace of God rule means. We need to let the peace of God settle in our hearts, everything, with all finality, and not stress. Are we going to be sad? Yes. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus saw what was coming. And it broke his heart. But you remember the other verse that it said? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy set before him? I believe it's us, seeing us redeemed. But that didn't mean that he was not brokenhearted by what was going to happen to Jerusalem, what was going to happen to people. I know that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one, but I think there's differences in each of their natures. And I think Jesus is so forgiving and so loving and so giving of himself, that's why he doesn't know when his Father's going to say it's enough. Because I think Jesus might continue to suffer longer and longer and longer. And God, being the ultimate righteous judgment coming from the Father, is going to say, it's enough now. Go bring the family home. Go wage the final war. But until then, there's going to be a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of heartache. But it shouldn't rob us of our peace. It shouldn't rob me of my peace. And then I didn't finish verse 15. It says, I'll tell you what I read, and then I'll tell you what I forgot. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, comma, and be ye thankful. That's what I need to work on more. More thankfulness. I got home from my trip to my conference, and last Sunday afternoon, I realized I was getting a cold. Like, not again. Not another cold. But you know what? I didn't get the cold on the way to the conference. I got it on the way home. That's a blessing. God saw fit to keep it till I was able to be in my own house, where we got lots of bedrooms, where I won't disturb my wife if I can't sleep at night. God is good all the time. And then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Letting the words of Christ dwell in me. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wow. That's how we do it. Singing with each other. Sharing with each other, lifting each other up, praying for each other, communicating with each other. And then verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When people see me, what do they see? Jeremy and I use a behavior assessment in our classes, a DISC behavior assessment. And the one that we use has three graphs. And one of the graphs is called the mask. And that's what you want other people to see. The other graph on the right hand of the page is the mirror. That's what you see of yourself. And then the third graph, they call it the core, or your stress graph, is what happens when you're stressed. And as we debrief with people on their assessments, we look for what shifts in the graph. There shouldn't be a shift in the graph of our Christian life. There shouldn't be a mask. There shouldn't be a stress graph. There should just be the mirror. And the mirror should be Christ. I discovered a song this morning while I was looking for another one. And these are the lyrics. Is the face that I see in the mirror the one I want others to see? Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you've shown me? In all that I do, all that I am. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I chose to be Do they see Jesus in me? It's amazing that you'd ever use me, but use me the way that you will. Help me to hold out a heart of compassionate grace, a heart that your Spirit fills. May I show forgiveness and mercy the way you've shown it to me. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus in me? No, I want to show all the world who you are, the reason I live and breathe. So you'll be the one that they see when they see me. Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus in me?